Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Father God, we thank you, Lord God, for your word. We thank you for the revelation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you that we are stewards of the mysteries of God. Father, we know that we seek to pray that God would grant the spirit of revelation, Lord God, and wisdom unto people, Lord. And we trust and pray, Lord God, that eyes could come open, ears could be opened to see and to perceive the heights, depths, widths, and lengths of your word, Lord God. And that not we being anything, Father, being the least of all in your kingdom, but Lord God, that we could possibly help to show a door, Father, knowing that you are the door, Father, but we know, Lord God, that he is the one and only door, but many have only made it into the second heaven. And Father, help us to go beyond the veil, Lord, and see beyond the visible into this invisible land. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can all be seated this evening. It's very difficult to introduce a doctrine or a revelation or a mystery or a secret to people, especially people that have been well studied in the scriptures and in the Bible. You can find many ministries, many denominations, and many people are very well studied in a certain area, and you get outside of that particular realm or area, sometimes they'll draw back on you. They'll bow back in on you because the purpose or the reason they bow back is because they get into a land of uncertainty that they don't maybe feel skilled in or revelation in, and they'll draw up. But sometimes it's kind of a nice thing to launch out into the deep. The Bible talks about the deep calling unto the deep, and there's a time to launch out. And, you know, as a minister of the gospel that is led by the Spirit of God, the Bible said the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. And a minister of the gospel is even going to find when he's preaching that sometimes he'll launch out into things and he's being taught himself at the very time that he is speaking. He is going out into things and God's leading him, directing him, and guiding him. Many men have gone through the Old Testament. God led them out into certain areas they didn't know. And that was by faith. They stepped out by faith. I know if we were simply going to just speak on faith tonight, I know that so oftentimes that many people limit the measure of faith by hindering it by only walking in what they could perceive or see. And they feel like they're not going out beyond that. But when you get out into realms or into places that you don't know, you're moving by faith. Amen. And walking by faith. And that's what God wants of all of us. You know, as I made an introduction here this evening talking about possibly making a presentation of some projectional foundational truths. And in many cases and many times, that right there would be an alarming sound to some. I had two or three ministers together. Brother Andy was with me, was over in Greensboro. We spent thousands of dollars helping this brotherhood. Another work about 2 hours from here. And I say literally, we spent thousands of dollars helping them. And my purpose was to get some time with the pastor of that work. Powerful work, a holiness work, a good work. Sincere people love the Lord, but they had doctrinal error. And in trying to reach some of the ministers there, I was trying to get to the head minister. And some of you know the story and some of the things that took place. But, you know, we went to great extent to reach out. Were they lost, Brother Rob? Well, let me tell you like this. The thing is there was a day that I was in another doctrine. You know, and the Bible says if they preach any other doctrine than with the Lord Jesus Christ, let them be accursed. And there was a day that I was in some doctrinal error. But God loved me and I was under the grace because it had not been taught or I had not seen it. I had not had it revealed to me. But you see, a man that would reject Jesus' name baptism when it's presented. See, that's a whole different thing than a man never being presented to it. He might have, you know, raised up around Trinitarian folks and, you know, and this is what he was taught. And they go to Matthew 28:19 and you know, and this man, that's all he's doing. There was a time that was me. And you know, what's phenomenal, with the time I met Brother Pike, I was in a study on baptism and I did have peace about it. And I remember coming there and I was in studies and trying to understand it. And one of the first books I grabbed when I got there, I was down in the basement, and it was hanging on the rack in there, and it said, just talking about understanding water baptism, I think, or something of such. And it was a pretty strong book. One of the first things I read in that book, it said, if you was baptized in any other way, you need to get born again. I went to the brother and I said, hey, according to this book you wrote, I need to get born again. He was pretty strong. Brother Pike didn't quite sometimes show an element of grace. And he told me, he said, no, Brother Robbie, said simply that you came to this doctrine and to this understanding. It shows that you were born again before the foundation of the world, and God is leading you to all truth. And there's people that may not see eye to eye with us on some things, but or at one point of time, but see as God draws them into the truth and they could see, perceive, or learn. Now, if we talk about foundational truths, and there are foundations to revelation that are very simplistic to you that have been indoctrinated for many years. There's things that some people or some churches never speak from behind the sacred desk. They do not speak about first, second, third heaven. Now to us, we foundation and springboard off of these three different heavens, or we could say dimensions, and we springboard off of this, and so often in teaching. Some of the oneness people, they are afraid to even think about Father, Word, and Holy Ghost, because they don't understand the revelation that the Father, being invisible spirit, manifested in the fullness in the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost come forth after the personification. The Holy Ghost being the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Spirit was the Spirit of the Father, but it had come into the person, which it was personified. That's where the words stem from one another, we might say. And when that Spirit came forth, it was identified as the ghost of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost. So there's a differentiation changeover, one and the same Spirit. The Bible said Father, Word, Holy Ghost, these three are one. But then yet we differentiate it apart, just like Brother Bob said, he has a body, soul, and spirit. Okay, but he's one person. The person part of the Father was Jesus Christ in the fullness of that without measure. Comes to you and I in measure. And the thing is we got to press. There's some 30, some 60, 100. We got to press and press for more by transformation of our mind and our thoughts. Just speaking to you, laying a little bit of a thought or a little bit of a foundation. Brother Chuck, pull up on my Bible, Zechariah, the 14th chapter right there. I may do a little bit of reading there and then we'll go, because there's a couple directions that I'm looking at possibly taking forth here this evening. Now, I know your standard thoughts of when I talk about dimensional projections, you know, we would springboard off Father, Word, Holy Ghost, or first, second, and third heaven. Again, the Father, Word, Holy Ghost is one of the major things that we look at. One was, one is, and one is to come. You say, well, you mean which one was? Well, see, we don't know the Lord Jesus after the flesh no more. I was speaking with an individual today, and I was explaining to them to have a crucifix on your wall with Jesus hanging on that thing naked is a reproach. I mean, we would never want to do anything of such. And see, in my mind of Christ and revelation, that is a terrible thing. You say, what do you mean you're talking about the cross? Well, we don't know him after the flesh no more. We know him after the spirit, the resurrection. And we're thankful for what took place of him being killed on the cross of Calvary. That is where we got life, and this is where the abolishing and the conquering of death was done at. But we don't put our God, our Holy Savior, on a cross, stripped off. That was a terrible, hideous act that took place to him. I mean, it was a terrible thing to be stripped off and ravished like he was and beaten. You know, we're thankful for that was happening. We got life from that, but we don't put that out for. It was a shame for him, a most terrible thing for him to go to a cross that were normally murderers and rapists and things would go. He was an innocent. And so we don't esteem that. We're thankful for the cross, but we esteem the resurrection, and we know him after the resurrection. Amen. So, Zechariah 14 here. Let me begin reading right here at the first part of this thing. I'm going to read for a little bit, and we'll try to follow the leading however the Lord will allow us to go here this evening. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoils shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the house rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and the other half toward the south. And you shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azazel. Ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judea, and the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that the evening time, and it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that the living waters shall go from Jerusalem, half to them toward the former sea, and half toward the hinder sea. In summer and in the winter shall it be. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In all that day shall there be one Lord, as his name one. And the land shall be turned as a plain of Geba to Rimmon, is that correct? South of Jerusalem, and it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place from Benjamin's gate unto the place of the first gate, unto the corner gate, and from the tower of Hanel unto the king's wine press. And the men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. Let me stop right there for a moment. Now, we're reading a prophetic utterance of the Lord Jesus Christ coming back to the Mount of Olives there. We do know that when Jesus was caught away from the Mount of Olives, they watched him ascend. And the angel of the Lord speaks to him and said, "Why you gaze here? And in like manner that you see him, he'll come back in like manner." That's a perfect place to start thinking of some dimensional projection of thought. Okay? Now, people talk about the coming of the Lord. All right? So when we speak about the coming of the Lord, now most of the things in any kind of a projectional, revelational thing, when I use the term projectional is to break it down. We talk about God, we say Father, Word, Holy Ghost. We just projected him out in a differentiated mindset, a dimensional mindset, just like I do my wife or a man. I could differentiate a man and say body, soul, spirit. If the spirit departs a man's body, the body's dead. Okay, but the spirit of that man is alive in Christ, and he's dwelling with Christ. He's present with Christ. Now, some teach soul sleep, you know, and they think, well, you know, we're just going to be asleep, and one day we're going to, you know, wake up, and we won't recognize any of that time, you know, because it's like when you go to sleep at 10 o'clock at night, you wake up the next morning, there's really no contact of time. And this is what many people teach, but it's not what the Bible's saying. The Bible says you're present with the Lord. Are you asleep with him? Now, when we talk about in the scriptures, and it said that there was, you know, talks about the forefathers that are asleep. Okay, so now they've got Bible for what they teach in that. So which one are we going to believe? Well, which one are we going to believe when it comes to dimensional perspective? Am I a sinner or am I a son of God? Am I God's new elect creature or am I a sinner? I was born in sin, shapen in iniquity. That man was killed. Now I'm a new creature in Christ. So we're differentiating again. Dimensional perspective. I'm a son of God. I'm born of God. So I'm speaking of a first man, Adam, and a second man, Adam. One a living soul, one a quickening spirit, the Bible said. So now we start everything in the scriptures. The Bible said, rightly dividing the word of God. A workman who need not be ashamed. And this is what many people, they have troubles. They'll get over here and they'll take a dogmatic view of this particular scripture, and they will absolutely reject anything outside of that. I was speaking with another brother today, and he said, man, I got into a kind of a challenge by a man, and he said, you know, I'm a sinner, and I sin every day. And he said, well, I don't. The Bible said, ye that sin are of the devil, and that your father's the devil. So if you say, I'm a sinner, and I sin every day, you're saying, hey, I'm of the devil. Now, many churches teach that. You know, they teach that you're a sinner. Many churches teach that nobody's perfect. See, those are all contrary terminologies to Bible doctrine. You know, Jesus Christ has perfected us once and for all by his labors at Calvary. But then yet he sent the fivefold ministry to perfect the saints. Now there again, two different dimensions. I know I'm saying things that are very elementary maybe to many of you, but these are things that many people oversee and they just don't even want to look at it. You know, the average person say, well, I know the Bible doesn't contradict itself. It'll contradict itself to a man that doesn't have a mind of differentiation between dimensions. You understand that? Because there's things that I could say as a man that I cannot say as a son of God. It was appointed unto me once to die in the judgment. Okay, it's appointed for man to die. I'm a son of God. Death has been abolished. I cannot die. The reason I can't die because I can't sin. Sin is the sting of death. And if that has been removed, oh, grave, where is thy victory? Oh, death, where is thy sting? You see, it's been done away with. The last enemy of God was death. Now see, your average Christian doesn't think death was abolished yet. Well, if he didn't do it on the Calvary, somebody tell me when it's going to be done. Come on now. If he did not do it at Calvary, then when's it going to be done? Well, I buried my grandmother, so I know death isn't abolished. Well, sons of God don't die. If grandma was born again, she didn't die. She went to sleep. You say, well, I thought you didn't believe in soul sleep. Well, this is what I'm saying. We're talking about bringing some revelational understanding of these things. When grandma took her last breath, she stepped out of that body present with the Lord, that spirit, okay, that eternal spirit that's predestined in Christ. That body went to the grave. Let's talk about Jesus for a minute. We got to say, he said he made himself twain. Now, I heard somebody say the other day that they're dealing with some people, and he said they're kind of tunas. And I said, well, they got more Bible sometimes for some tunas doctrines, because there are some things that project in man's mind a lot easier as tunas. Jesus made himself twain. He didn't say three, he said twain, both Lord and Christ, son of man, son of God. Okay, well, what's the difference? What's the difference between the first man Adam and the second man Adam? One's a living soul, one's a quickening spirit. I've been in conversation with ministers, and they'll say like the Apostle Paul, well, you know, hey, I didn't come with some superior wisdom, you know, or knowledge, you know. And he said, I come just with the knowledge of Jesus Christ, him crucified. And you start getting out into some of the depths of dimensional projections or the mysteries of God and godliness. A lot of times they want to go there because you get them uncomfortable on a thing. Ah, you know, I don't need to know none of that. I just want to know about Jesus and him crucified. Well, that's a cop-out. That's a man that needs to get saved, honestly. You know, because, you know, the deep calls unto the deep, and there's a drawing from the Spirit of God to project out into the depths of God. Amen. I'm not projecting myself that I've gone out into some depths here, brethren, but I can say this, that I have had my eyes open. It might be to some very, according to things in Revelation that Brother Pike was in, these are very, the things that I've launched out into would be elementary compared to his things. But also, in the same breath of that, when I see the church world failing and stumbling around in the things that they're stumbling around in, I feel like I've gone some places. You understand what I'm saying? Because I could perceive and see the failures for the simple reason they're not looking at the projection of God into the dimensional perspective of, as the Bible says in Romans 1:20, it said that for these invisible things are seen and clearly understood by the things which do appear. So we could see the shadows in this world bringing to a revelation or a comprehension to us of things that are happening in the invisible dimension. Now, Jesus said, though you have eyes, you do not see. And they were looking at him. So there again, we're differentiating sight. There's an eyesight that the children of God could see, and they could see good when good comes. There's another man, the carnal mind, it's hid from them. The Bible said they're blind. They don't have eyes to see. You know, and it even goes on to say some of them are twice dead. Now, how are you going to be twice dead without getting some kind of a dimensional differentiation of thought there? Twice dead. Well, that means they've died once and then died again. But then yet these people that are numbered with the twice dead and brute beasts, they're still alive in this world walking among us. But see, I'm saying I'm twice born. Now, you know, most of the time you don't hear somebody say I'm twice born. They say I'm born again. Well, if you say born again, that means you were born once before. Now you're born again. Now, so the thing is that I would say twice born. And truthfully speaking, we have to reverse that to get the revelation of that, because we were born, our name put in the book of life before the foundation of the world. The Bible talks about the elder serving the younger. What's the elder? What's the younger? Well, according to most average thinking, it would be the first birth being the elder. You know, the one that's gone to school and got training and this and that. But that man's going to have to bow down and submit to the inner quickening of the Spirit of Christ, that born again one, and submit to him and say, okay, you lead, you guide, you speak. Now, that also has to do with the marriage that brother the Apostle Paul spoke about. You know, he said, I show you a mystery, that when the man and woman marry, they become one in the flesh. Okay, so the way most people in churches teach about the man and woman, they say coming into one mind, it would be more appropriate for them to say, well, you know, I got this revelation understanding that they become one in the Spirit. Because that's what they're saying, the way they talk about coming into the same mind. See, that would have to do with the Spirit. But it says one in the flesh is what it says. And the thing is that we come to that revelation and understanding because now we're going to differentiate. I'm the bride of Christ. Okay, I'm a man. Okay, so what's the bride of Christ's name? Bruce Jenner? Now, I would never speak an insulting thing towards my Lord and my God and my Savior, but I'm saying if we don't have a mind of differentiation and a man stands before you that looks like a man, and I say I'm a woman, I'm a bride, they're going to say, man, what do we got, a transvestite here? Okay, so the only way now, brethren, is for us to be able to stand, and he said he's coming for his bride without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. The only way we could perceive or understand that is by one simple thing, is by saying, okay, I'm the bride. Well, what dimension that is? You know, now your average Christian man or Christian person, and you went to him and say, okay, is God coming for his bride? And they say, yeah. Are you the bride? Yeah. Well, was that natural? Are you a natural bride? And they'd say, oh, no, that's speaking spiritually. But then the Bible said there's no male nor female in the Spirit, so now we've got another snag up. This is why we teach dimensional projections, for we could find out, where does this fit at? Now, another man was talking with me. I was doing some counseling, and he said he was talking about a woman preacher. He said, man, she is just a wonderful person, Brother Rob, one of the nicest ladies, and she's very good and skilled and things. You've heard me say this from the sacred desk. There's women that have more revelation, more understanding. They have a better prayer life. They're more sober-minded. They're more real about the things of God than many men. But it still don't fit. That's like a woman, you know. You can take a woman, and she goes to the gym. She's got her butch haircut, wears a bow tie, you know, wears her pants. And she's buffed out like a man, okay? And you say, hey, man, she's stronger than most men. Don't you mess with that woman. She'll whoop your hide. She's still a woman, brother. I don't care what you say. It's still a woman. She cannot reproduce her image. She's a woman. It don't fit. Okay, so now when we get into the spiritual projections, there's things that are trying to happen that don't fit. Now, when a woman says that she's a minister because there's no male nor female in the Spirit, I got to use that same doctrine and marry Joe and John. If there's no male or female in the Spirit, I tell an old Joe, oh, well, since you're all spiritual, you know, and you're born again, I can go ahead and marry you. There's no male or female. Now, isn't that an abomination? We know it's an abomination, and it's the same abomination when a woman is a pastor. Okay, it's the same abomination. The Bible said, I suffer not for the woman to sup authority over the man. Okay, so a pastoral position is authoritative position. I'm sorry. You know, say, well, I don't see it that way. You know, we have a sovereignty. Sure, you have a sovereignty, but the man of God's commanded to keep order in the church and the house of God. He's a supping authority on a continuous basis. So it's error. So in many times, you know, people have this way, but this is why we teach projections of the gospel in a dimensional sense, because we're going to make sure it fits in every single dimension. We do not bypass or violate any dimensions. If I put a woman behind the sacred desk as a pastor or an evangelist, I violated a projectional perspective of God's word. Okay, so then it puts things out of order, and God is perfect order. He's the one that created this earth. He's the one that makes the sun go around, or makes everything orbit around this sun. And it takes 365 days for this thing to go around this orbit. And it takes 24 hours for this thing to turn this way around the sun to make a day. And it works the same way every day. We don't have a 22-hour day one day and a 27-hour another. We don't have a 390-day year, and then the next year have a 365. It's absolutely so calculated that they could tell you what time the sun is going to set in 2062, okay, on July 15th. They could tell you exactly the sunset time. That's the order that God has. So when we start learning these dimensional projections, we're going to see the order of it. And there's certain things that have to take place. Now, when we think of the millennium, or we could say the thousand-year reign, many times we use millennium as an expression, but biblically speaking, it would be thousand-year reign. There's certain things that have to take place to fit the biblical format of God. Okay, because there's certain things. The earth and the earthen vessel, there's similarities in it. The earth, you put a seed in the earth, and it reproduces after its kind. You put a seed in the physical earth, it reproduces after its kind. The Mexican man puts a seed in his wife, the earth, or the earthen vessel. It's going to reproduce after his kind. Okay, the man is going to bring forth a Mexican child. And that's just the way things work. If I put an apple seed out there in the ground and I got it from, I'm not going to go out there and be surprised and find a peach on it. It ain't going to happen. Okay, because this is the order of God. And the thing is as we start looking for these projections, we see the allegory of the earth or the shadow of it. And there's many things that take place in the earth. Now, some of the things that we've talked about is when we look at the earth and we pattern it with man. Okay, so I could go to Genesis 1 right now, and I'm going to paraphrase for a moment. And I could turn over there and read it right verbatim from Genesis 1. I could have Chuck have it up there and say, but let me just say this. In the beginning, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Okay, now, that's the creation of this earth, yes. And in the beginning, the earth was without form and void. Now, see, a lot of people want to make the earth 6,000 years old. You don't have to do that, okay? It says it was without form and void. It could have been this big hunk of mass floating around out here like nothing, just a wandering star, so to speak, floating around out here. And you say, well, it's not a star. Well, there's a star that projects light, and there's a star that reflects light. And this earth reflects light. It has no power to project light of its own. So we look at it in that way. And the Bible talks about wandering stars and fallen stars, and talks about a lot of different things that we could expound on and go into some detail on, but let me go on here for a moment. But the earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of this deep, and the Spirit of God moved over the waters and started speaking. Let there be light. Light has to do with understanding. Okay, when you're in the darkness of mind, you're carnal minded. You're carnally minded. You're in darkness. Okay, but we're creatures of light. Why? Because we're spiritually minded. Okay, so we're us new creatures are the children of light. But the old creature, or the first birth, the old man, the old nature is darkness. So now we're differentiating you in light and darkness. Between you is an inner man and an outer man. The outer man is relative to darkness. The outer man is relative to death. The outer man is relative to destruction. The outer man is temporal. The things that are seen are temporal. The inward man, invisible, relative to eternity, relative to things celestial. The outer man, relative to things mortal. So we start differentiating again. Again, when we get into the doctrines of differentiation, then we have people that chide and strive. They say, man, Brother Rob's a cult. He's teaching he's a God. Well, Jesus said, you are gods, but you die like men from a lack of knowledge. So we're coming to light, revelation, understanding. In the beginning, darkness upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved over, said, let there be light. And then there was a permanent division taking place there. We're talking about the earth without form and void, darkness upon the face of the deep, light, the Spirit of God moves over, which is light, and he moves over this thing and starts bringing life and understanding, or starts speaking things into existence on this earth. But I said, we're going to switch the gear for a moment. We're going to use that as a foundational understanding to talk about me. I was shapen in iniquity, born in darkness. Okay, darkness upon the face of my deep. Okay, but the Spirit of God moved over by the preaching of the gospel, by the children of light. You see, the Christian people in this world are the light to this world. And somebody brought me light. And when this light came to me, it started eradicating the darkness of my first birth. And light started being spoke to me. And the Spirit of God started dealing with me. The Spirit of God moved over the face of this deep, and he said, let there be light, let there be revelation, let there be understanding. Started dividing, put this firmament, and started this division that started taking place. Okay, what is this division that's coming for? I had to start coming to a revelational, divisional understanding that there's an inner man and an outer man. And there was something that laid in between these things, and it's the soul realm. And there's a fight and a travail in the second heaven. Okay, so the soul realm has to do with the second heaven. The spiritual realm has to do with the third heaven. And this water world, or the first dimension of this earth and these different things, have to do with the water realm. Now, even though we speak in the physical realm having to do with blood life, water, blood, and spirit, but in the earthly dimension, it's relative to water. Cut the water off out there. You know, things dry up quick. You know, you get these droughts for so many years, everything's dying, they're ripping the trees and everything out in California, the orchards and things of agriculture state, because of no water. It's relative to water. Okay, this man right here, you take the blood out of this man, he's dead. Jesus came and shed every drop of blood, but his blood wasn't corrupted. He was one man that walked in this earth that didn't have corrupted blood. Now, I'm a new creature in Christ, born again. My blood has become royal blood. Now, you say, I don't know about that. Well, let's go on. I don't want to hang you up on that one right yet. You say, well, there's no different than your blood. You can take your blood out and put it in a monkey and it might live. And I say, yep, you're right, because this thing is beast. And it has got beast blood in it. Man is a beast. Paul said, I fought at Ephesus with brute beast. Well, you think he was fighting monkeys out there and giraffes? No, he's talking about men, brute beast. The Bible said some brute beast made to be taken and burned. You think they're talking about apes, gorillas? No, they're talking about man. Man in his unregenerated state, in the man of his first birth, is nothing but a beast. Differentiation again. Are you a beast, Brother Rob? I took the beast image just as Jesus came in the image of sin. What is the image of sin? The image of a beast. He came in the image of sin, and he took this image of sin to the cross of Calvary and had it crucified, had it beaten, okay? He took it, and the thing was crucified, and that image of sin was done away with for you and I, okay? So how does he see us now? How does he see us? You say, well, he sees us through the blood. And I say, okay, he's seeing this outer garment of iniquity through this blood, but how does he see the inner man caught up to the throne with him, sitting in heavenly places, dwelling with him? How did he get there? Through birth. I saw in heaven a mystery. There was a woman in travail to bring forth a child, but there was a red dragon laying there to devour the child as soon as it was born. And what happened to the child as soon as it was born? What happened to it? It was caught up. Okay, so if it was in the third heaven, there wouldn't be no more catching up if we're looking at it in that way. Correct? So we know that that child was birthed in the second heaven. And this is where the reproduction realm is, in the second heaven. There is no marriage or given in marriage in the third heaven. That's what the Bible says. So we got to get the reproduction aspect of thought out of the reproduction. The reproduction is happening in the second dimension. And if things of the Spirit came down and condescended to men of a less estate, and it came down and we're bringing the good news of the gospel, the Bible said it's the seed that remaineth in you that keepeth you from sin. Right? Okay, so in speaking these things, yeah, some of them are repetitive, I understand that. But there's some foundational truths in these things that we could springboard off of into the depths of God or understandings of God that we're not going to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Now, one thing about when a minister will question me, like, well, I don't see why I need to know this. A minister said today, he said, Brother Rob, I've been saved for 26 years, been preaching the gospel, and I never heard anybody in all the Pentecostal churches ever speak about the things you're talking about. Okay, now this is what a brother says to me. And, you know, so we're like, well, how could this be right? You know, Brother Rob, who do you think you are? He didn't have that attitude. Don't misunderstand me. But he's saying, man, but I'm hearing the word of God from you. And everything that you're saying, I'm hearing word and I'm getting word. But why isn't anybody else speaking about these things? You know, I feel fortunate. I feel fortunate of the failures and things that I had to go through to get me to come where I would sit under this. The particular minister that spoke these things to me was pastor in a church for over 10 years. And got hurt by his congregation and got shipwrecked in his faith and was ready to just call it quits because he had been hurt so bad. But see, that made him, by the broken, contrite spirit, made him absolutely a candidate for the revelation of Jesus Christ. When you're haughty, when you're arrogant, when you think you know everything, and you're walking in such a place, everybody needs to submit to me, I'm the one, I'm the man. Man, you're lost. You ain't got nothing to say. You know, every great man of God I've ever listened to had humility. And I saw this humility in their heart and in their spirit. And they esteemed others greater than them own self. Amen. That's what I want. I want that in my life and I want it to be real. I don't want it to be a practice thing. I want to love people and help people. Amen. So here we are. We're talking about the earth. And we see was darkness and void, and with the Spirit of God moves over the earth, starts bringing it in. Okay, now, so we're going to compare the pattern, and we've run a pattern, and we find the pattern of the natural earth and the physical earth, the earthen vessel. The man carries the seed of reproduction. Okay, the man plants the seed of reproduction, the blood seed, the water world, water seed. And in that dimension, the fruit of the tree has a seed in it. It goes into the ground, and again, the apple's going to reproduce an apple, peach a peach, you know, grass, grass, or whatever. Okay, that's an order about it. It's not by chance. Now, we come over into the physical realm, and again, the white, the Mexican, or the brown, the black, or however you want to say it, the yellow man, they're going to plant a seed, and it's going to come forth. You know, and if you're a white man and a white wife and she has a black baby, we got a problem. Somebody else was planting in your garden. Come on now. I mean, I'm not trying to be ignorant here or perverted, but I'm saying, well, there's a problem because there's an order. This is the way things work, right? So now, in speaking this, we're going to look for the pattern of the earth. We're going to look for the pattern of the physical. Okay, then we can start talking about the spiritual. Sometimes we got to have a one and a two to get a three. Now he said, I don't know whether I was in body or in spirit, but I know I was caught into the third heaven. Okay, I don't have no Bible to say second heaven or first heaven, but I got Bible for third heaven. Now, if I start teaching fourth heaven, you say, wait a minute, Brother Rob, where you got this from? I say, sir, I ain't got no thing of such. But I do have Bible for third heaven, and I know if I got a third of anything, if I have my third child, that means I had two others, huh? If I walked up to you and said, yeah, this is my third child. Well, you know, I got two others for sure. Now, I might have 16, but the only thing that you know for a fact is I got two more because of that. So if I got a third heaven, I got a first and second. There is a witnesses. You know, the Bible said, let it be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Now, in many times, we could talk about the water and the blood could bring a witness to the spiritual world. And it could confirm some things. All right? Now, so if we start watching a pattern, the sun rotating around or the planetary things or where we start seeing a pattern, we find seasons and times and the stars put in the skies for times and seasons and those things. We're not creatures of that. We don't follow after stars and those kind of things, even though they saw the prediction of the Son of God being birthed and everything by the study of the stars. So there are some factual things in it. We don't go to it. We don't read the horoscopes and all that trash. We stay away from it. We're sons of God. We're led by the Spirit of God, not stars. We're sons of God. We're not led by dreams. We do understand dreams and visions. It says in the Bible, we'll have dreams and visions, but we're not led by them. Brother Rob, nor any son of God is going to make a decision on anything they do by a dream. They're going to make a decision by being led by the Spirit of God. And the dream could be a witness to confirm something that God has already done. If somebody comes up to you and says, I got a word from God for you, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord. It's as a rule going to be something that God's already dealt with you in the Spirit, and that man was sent to you to be a witness of that thing, and then let it be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. You witnessed it by it coming to you through the ordinances of God or the mind of Christ or the revelation of the Lord, and this man brought it to you as a witness. And then you, so you got to be very careful in these things. So now we're going to talk about the earth. Now, I'm a man, okay? And we were born and shapen in iniquity. Man has fallen off the axis. When the fall in the garden, it took a tilted man. Man was not upright and straight. He was tilted. He wasn't upright in righteousness. Okay, he was fallen. The fall in the garden. Okay, now, so man is tilted on his axis. Okay, but with the earth, science will prove to you that the earth is tilted on its axis. Okay, now it's a witness. Now the thing is if that earth being tilted on its axis is going to be a shadow or a typical of this man, and man comes upright in righteousness, then what does the earth have to do? It has to come upright. It has to come upright, brethren. Has to. Now, if I would have read on down here in this prophetic utterance out of Zechariah there, if I would have read on down, or I could take you over into the book of Revelation, but it talks about melting with fervent heat and talking about the earth. So right at this time, right at the end of the week, the seventh week, the one that hasn't fulfilled yet, there was 483 years appointed, 490 years appointed to the people, but 483 of them years were fulfilled of Daniel's prophecy at the crucifixion of Christ at Calvary. Those 7 years have got to come back in. Okay, those 7 years have to do with the Moses and Elijah, the two candlesticks coming back together, and it brings time back in. I'm going to be as prompt as this as I can because I'm going in another direction. But when you say of this 7 years coming back and adding to the 40, that's going to finish the prophetic utterance of the 490 years. But that last week is not finished. That last week is the tribulation period. Okay, now where he shows up with his feet upon the Mount of Olivets is going to come over at the end of the week. Okay, we know that in the middle of the week, the two prophets are going to come. They're going to be killed in the streets. There's going to be a lot of Holocaust, a lot of blood, a lot of things happening. When this week comes back in, the dispensation era of grace, grace has to do with the 2,000 years of a dispensational grace, or we look at it as where the angel stood in the book of Revelation, he stood with one foot on the land, one foot on sea, hands lifted up towards heaven. and said, time shall be no more. There was a stop of the time in the dispensation of grace right there. Now, we do know that in the spirit there is no time, and time and distance run together. So, you know, in the natural realm, if I say I got to go 3,000 miles, it's more time than if I got to go 1,000 miles. So time and distance run together. In the spirit, there is none of that. Because in the spirit, God is omnipresent. So he's everywhere. The highest height, the deepest depth, no matter where you are, there he is. So we're going to do away with time and all that in the spiritual realm. But we're speaking of the projection to the spiritual realm. And the product that comes into the spiritual realm is the mystery said, the woman was in heaven, the second heaven, and travailed with the child. And as soon as the child was born, caught up to the throne. There's so many things that could be said there, because then we could go into the teaching of the woman, what dimension she's in, and why she was spared in childbearing. And it shows you as the man. Okay? Now, when we talk about the woman being the weaker vessel, it shows you as the man. Because we being the bride, submitting unto the internal quickening or unto Christ, showing the outer part is feminine, the inner masculine, and the woman is going to be subjection unto the Christ. Now, if that gets out of order, there's an order in God that the man submits himself to God and the woman submits herself to man. And when a woman won't submit to her husband, it's usually an allegory of showing that he's not submitted to God. Now, I'm going to say this, and we're going to go on with some more thoughts of this, but I was with my pastor. Some of you probably know exactly where I'm going, but a man came in and he said, Brother George, he said, my wife won't listen to me. She does her own thing. She's running the roads. She's doing her own thing, and went on and da, da, da. And he felt good. A lot of people like come puke on the preacher. They don't want to wait for counsel. They don't want to wait for a word. But you know, it's okay. I went and said this, and they feel like they've relieved. You know, when a man's sick in the stomach, he throws up, he feels better. Okay. And many times people will puke on the pastor and then they're gone. They won't wait for the counsel. Okay. Well, this man come in and puked and left. And Brother Pike looked at a few of us and he said, brother, have you ever heard of such a perfect example of that man's life? He come in saying his wife don't listen, she don't submit, she has no communication with him, she's running the road. He said that's his life with God. He has no prayer life, he's doing his own thing, he's just going to and fro doing whatever he wants to do. And this is again the order and the pattern. A man that is following Christ and loves the Lord and sowing into the kingdom of God, his wife's going to love him and she's going to submit to him and follow after the order, because that's God's order. So a man's wife went off and had an affair with another man. And the man says, Brother Rob, he said, you know, I'm going to put my wife away. And I said, well, you got that right, but God's going to put you away. And he goes, what do you mean? And I said, well, you're doing the same thing to God that you're going to put your wife away for. You know, you're being unfaithful to God. You're supposed to be the bride of Christ. You're out drinking, you're smoking and running around the world. So God allowed you to get a taste of what you're doing. So he let your wife go have an affair with another man. So, you know, if you can't forgive her and love her and reconcile her, then God can't forgive you and reconcile him. See, now that could be questioned, but I was exhorting the man because he needed to get right with God. His wife was just a reflection of what he was, the whoremonger. Okay? The Bible said friendship with the world is adultery in God. So if I'm as a Christian out here frolicking in the world, I'm being unfaithful to my Lord. Because Satan's the god of this world. These are all things that we need to see and perceive. This is why we marriage counsel, because we see beyond the veil of the problem, okay, and we can fix things because we see the order of God isn't proper. Now, back to the world. We say that the world's tilted on its axis, wobbling through space. Well, the earth has got to come back upright for a reason. Because when it goes back to the Jew, you know, this is where the confusion, it's not confusion, brethren, so I apologize for saying, but I'm talking about they're in confusion, and we know where confusion's of. But out here in the church world, they're teaching that Jesus is coming back for the church, as it's some future thing. Let me tell you something, he promised them when he left, he said, you go and tarry there until you're endued with power. Until you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, if we know our Bible, in 1 John 5, it says, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, these three are one. Okay, so when the Holy Ghost comes to me, that's God. Okay, God was, God is, and God is to come. New Testament doctrine, 1 John 4, it says that if you do not believe that God is in the flesh, you're Antichrist. Okay, if God is here in the flesh, and I believe that, so I'm not Antichrist, but if I believe that, then why am I looking for the coming of the Lord? And you say, well, we're talking about the coming there in the book of that you just read right there in Zechariah. And it's speaking about where his feet come back to the Mount of Olives. The same thing that the angel of the Lord said, that why do you gaze here in the sky in like manner that you see him go, he'll come back. But this is what I'm saying. We're differentiating. Who is he coming back to? Has he left us for 2,000 years just to be beat up and spit upon and raped and ravished and all those things? Has he just left us and forsaken us? He said, I've never forsake you. Two or three come together in his name. He's in the midst. The Bible said the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. If he's not here with us, then how are we being led? Okay, so we're differentiating. I'm not lacking anything. He's given me everything that pertaineth unto life. I'm not looking for the conquering of death or the abolishing of death. Jesus done that at Calvary, and I'm walking in as a benefactor and in the benefits of eternal life. I'm walking in eternal life. I've passed from death unto life. I'm more than a conqueror because I've passed from death unto life. I'm already more than a conqueror. I'm not looking for eternal life. I'm the manifestation of eternal life. And you say, but Brother Rob, you might go and they might throw you in a box and bury you out here in the dirt. I say, it'll never happen. Absolutely impossible. The moment I take my last breath, I'm present with the Lord. And they might take this old carcass right here, this old earthen vessel, and they might throw it in a box. Okay, but see, that is the outer garment sown in iniquity. That's the outer garment. And light being formed within the darkness, you're talking about that dark image. Now, it'll go into the dirt. It'll go, and you could call that sleep, because it's nothing's dead in Christ. Every element of that thing will be called forth back. And it'll come forth out of the elements. Science has proven this. There ain't anything in the considered of matter. Everything in this earth is considered a matter. Solids, liquids, and gases. Now, I could take that bench right there and you say, Brother Rob, you put that thing through the fire, it's gone. It's non-existent. I guarantee you, every single element of that bench is still in existence in a different form. Okay? We could talk about Christ appearing in another form now. We'll open up a perfect door for that. But I'm telling you, brethren, it's all there. Everything. Now, this God that knows how many hairs on Bob's head and how many on Elliot's head, how many on my wife's head, and how many, if he can keep account of all that, and he could tell you how many raindrops have hit this earth from the beginning of creation until right now, in every moment, he could give you an exact number. I don't think he's going to have any problem of drawing all of these elements back, calling them forth. Amen. He was the one that took and spoke this world into an existence. And I don't think he's going to have any problem calling that. And this is why it's a true resurrection, brethren. If we don't call those things back, it's not a true resurrection. Now, some people believe, and I was talking with a minister here a few days back, and he was believing that, you know, when we die, we're present with the Lord and we're in a spirit body. There's telestial bodies, celestial bodies, okay? That's according in 1 Corinthians 15, okay? There's some telestial, some celestial, some sown in mortality and raised in immortality. So there is a different body. Now, the one that's called forth is not a mortal body no longer. It is called forth through the metamorphosis, through the transfiguration, and it's with the redemption. It's already the purchased possession by the works of Jesus Christ at Calvary. That body is going to be called forth. When that body is called forth out of the dust, out of the dirt, when that thing is called forth, it's no longer telestial. It's a celestial body. Now, in 15th chapter of Corinthians, it talks about beast flesh, fish flesh, and so on. And it's differentiating these different things. So, there's certain patterns that have got to be fulfilled. Now, we're back to the millennial earth. Okay, at the end of the 7-year tribulation, it's going to shake and this world's going to melt with the fervent heat. It has to do with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The earth has already been baptized by water. It's been totally flooded. It covered the mountains and everything. Some think it was a regional flood, but not according to the Bible. It was an entire flood. There's water storage tables up in the heavens. We could hear them raining down right now. And there's water storage in the earth. And the earth opened up the springs and the things, and it brought forth the waters, and it brought them out of the heavens. And it was enough to totally submerge and cover this earth. Okay, now, with that taking place and happening, that was the end of the world at that particular time. Now, the thing is that when Jesus came, it was the end of another world. When he came and walked among men. I believe it was Peter made this statement. He said, you know, to whom you are, to who the end of the world has come. There was an end of a world right there. Now the thing is when we see the Lord Jesus standing there on the Mount of Olives, you see, those are the people in whom that the end of that world has come also. This earth is going to come back upright on its axis. It's going to shake every single thing that can be shaken. It said when his feet hit the Mount of Olives, it cleaved in half. It said one went to the north, the other one went to the south, the water and everything's are going to change. But it said Jerusalem. It said Jerusalem was there. There was safety there. It's going to be one of the only cities. This is by the power of God. It's going to be one of the only cities in the world, brethren, that is going to be saved. That there will be this thing. Go on down and read that. If they don't come to Jerusalem and worship Him. Now we're talking during the millennium, the thousand-year reign. If you don't come and worship, it says it right there in Zechariah. If they don't come, there will be no rain for them. Now, He's got the control during the 1,000 years. Now, listen to me. He's got control that if Sister Melissa's got 40 acres over here, and she comes once a year, and she goes off over here to Jerusalem to worship Him, okay, then she'll have rain on her crop, but this guy over here doesn't. Now, people think they're under this ideology, or theology, I should say, that there's no problems during the millennium. Well, God's in order, and He will keep. There's not going to be prisons and a bunch of nonsense, but there's still going to be the carnal mind. And you could go right on down and read about Gog and Magog over in the book of Revelations. And you could go over there and read after the finishing of the 1,000 years, the curse is broken because it's appointed unto man once to die. And it said that, or said in the scriptures, that surely that day you will die. If you partake of this tree in the midst of the garden, that day, surely that day you will die. Okay, so now we say that no man has ever lived beyond a day. We can go over in New Testament doctrine and said as a day is as 1,000 years with the Lord and 1,000 years is a day. Okay, no man has ever lived beyond 1,000 years because that would have made the Bible a lie. But now when Jesus comes back, a man will have to live beyond 1,000 years to show the curse being broken and the abolishing of that. Now, we're going to talk about here in a second why there's a different dimension to an expectation to the Jew than there is to the Gentile. Okay? Two different realms. Now, you've heard me use Rachel and Leah for the example of this. And he desired Rachel, but he goes and works and labors, and he ends up with Leah. Okay? And he said, man, this isn't the one I labored for. Okay? So then he worked 7 more years. And he got Rachel. Rachel brought forth Benjamin, having to do with the sons of God, the heirs to the throne of God, Benjamin. We know the story what took place with Benjamin and how there was asked for Benjamin to be brought forth over there into Egypt by showing typical of the Lord Jesus Christ by being saviors to his family that rejected him. Joseph there showing Jesus Christ. It's a shadow, another pattern. Joseph showed the perfect pattern of Jesus. Moses showed the pattern also. So we look at these things as the book of shadows. In the Old Testament, the shadows. We come over in the New Testament, the object of worship, Jesus. Book of Revelation, the light shines across the object, makes the shadows. Let me tell you about a shadow. You could look at the shadows and there's going to be certain things. If I look out here in the yard and there's a telephone pole standing up and the shadow's going straight south, I could tell you one thing for sure where the sun is. It's north. Okay? That's a pattern, brethren. You can't change that. Okay, and these things are very significant in the mind of Christ in Revelation. Now, so we go to the shadows and we talk about the earth and we talk about the pattern being tilted on its axis. We talk about at the end of the tribulation period, it's got to come upright. And when it comes upright, then we're going to see a new earth. It's a transformed earth. There's still another metamorphosis to go. At the end of 1,000 years, at the end of the reign, there's going to be a battle of Gog and Magog. It's very clear in the scriptures. And during this time, Satan is going to be taken. He's been bound for 1,000 years in the pit. He's taken out, but still even with Satan bound, there was rebellion in the earth because it lays within the heart of man. Many times men want to blame it on the devil. Oh man, the devil. Hey, there wasn't no devil around. He ain't even messed with you because you're so carnal minded. You're full of death anyway. You ain't a threat to him. He's going to be messing with a preacher that's trying to preach the gospel. He's going to come over and be messing with him and trying to fight him. He ain't messing with you. You're already his anyway when you're carnal minded. The carnal mind is enmity with God and the carnal mind is death. You ain't no threat to him. You ain't leading nobody in the kingdom, but you start shining and you start bringing forth light. Man, then he's going to try to come against you, but let your light so shine and eradicate the darkness of him in his mind. Amen. This is through the transformation aspect of thought, second heaven. So now the earth has to come upright. Why? Because I'm upright. I'm the righteousness of Christ. I'm upright. Now, man was in the fall, but we came to the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came in darkness upon us, and he started speaking light, and we started receiving light, revelation, understanding, and we become the light of the world. Okay, so we bring an upright through what? The transformation of mind. Casting down every thought and every vain imagination, so we come upright. Now, so here I am. I'm walking in righteousness. I'm walking in godliness. I'm walking in holiness. I'm doing good to them that despitefully use me. My enemies come and lie down at my feet. So we said, man, this is everything that God has and had intended and had in store for man. You know, this is the transformed man. This is the second heaven. This is the transformation realm. We take the light of the invisible things of the Father, the Spirit, and we bring it into the manifestation in the second heaven. Now, in the second heaven, you say we cannot mix light and darkness or bitter and sweet. That's the third heaven. But let me ask you, in this world right now, when we came to church tonight, it was daylight. It was, you know, light. But right now we look outside, it was dark. Was it like all of a sudden it went, you know, we say, okay, it's dark now? No, there was a transitional time called twilight. So we can mix light and darkness in the earth dimension, in the first heaven, correct? Well, let me tell you about the second heaven. He said, I show you a mystery, that the woman was in travail to bring forth a child, but there was a red dragon there. There's your light and darkness right there, brethren, and they're mixed in the second heaven. Okay, but they're not no mix in the third heaven. Okay, but in the second heaven, they're mixed. The dragon was there to devour the child. The red dragon has to do with blood life. Okay, blood life has to do with the second heaven. Blood life has to do with that. The blood seed is the blood realm. When you start understanding the covenant or the water, blood, and spirit dimension, it said these three agree in one. Now, when you start understanding that dimension, there's people that violate those dimensions. Old Testament doctrine, the water covenant was violated. The water dimension, when they partook of the tree in the midst of the garden, they were commanded not to take of, there was your violation of that. Okay, when that was violated, there was animals killed, and it was a bloodshed being typical of the Lord Jesus. There was an allegory there. When they killed the animals and covered their nakedness, that was an allegory to Jesus Christ coming to the cross of Calvary. Okay, so they killed these beasts and they covered them with these skins. They were covered their nakedness. That was an introduction to the blood covenant, but the water covenant was still there. Okay, the water dimension was still there is what I should say. Now, when Cain came and offered a sacrifice unto God, and God wasn't pleased with it. Why? Because the water covenant had been broken. And he would not accept his offering because it came from farming, vegetation, water. God wouldn't accept that. Now he was only satisfied with blood. Now we go through the whole Old Testament from the garden there in the fell where Abel's blood cried out from the earth. We find bloodshed all the way through, go into that city and kill every man, kill every woman, kill every child, because there was going to be a protection of a blood seed from the beginning of time all the way to Jesus Christ at Calvary, another dimension. So there had to be a perfect blood seed. So who was the carrier of this? The Jew. If they fellowshipped with a Gentile, if they ate with them, they were considered unclean, brethren. Okay, so this blood seed was protected all the way by the killing of anything that would try to intermingle with the blood seed of the Jew, the perfect Jew. If you will follow the genealogy all the way through to Jesus Christ, you're going to find there was a pure bloodline to bring forth him, and he was heir to the throne. All the way through, he would have been heir to the throne. Now, we find that he brought the perfection of this blood seed all the way to Calvary, and the Bible says that God was not satisfied with the blood of bulls and goats, which they used to roll the sins back for a year. He wasn't satisfied, but he was satisfied with the sacrifice of his only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when he hung his head on the cross of Calvary, he said, "It is finished." What was finished, brethren? What was finished there at Calvary? What was finished was the blood realm, the blood dimension. It was finished. He said, it's finished. And now we're in another covenant, brother. Where John the Baptist was the forerunner to introduce Jesus Christ. And he said, there's going to be one that comes after me that I'm not worthy to unlatch his shoes, but he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, having to do with the Spirit. Okay, so now the earth has got to show these allegories. The earth was flooded with water. Now, then, right here in the tribulation period, when it was the end of that world, is what we know it, the earth will abide forever, but the Bible says heaven and earth will pass away. Okay, well, that's a contradictory. No, it isn't. Heaven and earth are going to pass away in the existence that you know it. But you know the third heaven isn't going to pass away, but the second heaven is for sure going to go away. Because the second heaven has to do with the intermingling of light and darkness. And it's going to pass away. Jesus came in the second heaven showing the moon. The moon realm is a reflector, and Jesus pointed everything back to the Spirit. Okay? Jesus pointed everything back to that. So, When we differentiate the dimensions, comprehend them and understand them, okay? We got to see the fulfillment of the earth in the first. So it comes upright on its axis, and we see Jesus Christ come and set up rule out of Jerusalem, which Jerusalem was protected, and the people that don't come worship him there in Jerusalem, there will be no rain on their crops. Now let's bring that into second dimension. This is the throne of God. The abomination of desolation is when Satan comes into the temple of God, making himself to be God. Okay, now we do know that in this tribulation time and period, there's going to be a personification. Now listen to me closely. There's going to be the Antichrist is going to be personified in a body. Now listen to me. I am the Lord Jesus Christ in the earth today, and so are you. We're the body of Christ. It's no longer you that speaks, but it's Christ speaking. The Bible says what you do to the least of these, my brethren, is what you've done unto me. Why? Because it's the Spirit of the Holy Ghost living in me. It's no longer Brother Rob speaking, but it's Christ bringing good news and glad tidings to mankind. Okay, so if I'm bringing this good news and glad tidings to man, okay, then it's Christ in me, the hope of glory, the revealing of Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, you say, are you Jesus Christ personified? I say, no, I'm the Spirit of Christ. Now, the Bible says that there's many Antichrist among us. Now, the Spirit of the Antichrist is in the earth. Yes, Obama's got it. Yes, Clinton had it. And yes, many of presidents have it. This is why our country has failed. But are they the personified Antichrist? No. The personified Antichrist is going to show forth in the tribulation period, and he's going to show up there, and the whole world's going to follow after him. And it will be the personified, because the personified God is also going to show up in like manner that he descended, and he's going to come back to this earth in like manner. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and our God and our Savior is going to be back, but it isn't going to be in the sinful image of the sin nature. He's going to come back in the transfigured body that could be visible and seen and touch and feel, and then all of a sudden like that and be gone. Now, I can't do that right now in this body. When Jesus Christ appears to them, I will appear just like him with them. But the Bible said this is what I've always been. The Bible said the sons of God leaped for joy before the world ever was. The world doesn't see me as a son of God. The world doesn't see me. Why? They don't have eyes to see. But God knows who we are already. Now, we got to speak by revelation. We got to speak by the Spirit. Paul said, I'd like to speak unto you, son, the spiritual, but find you yet carnal. Brethren, there's been a continuity of revelation from the time I opened my mouth all the way through. And this brings life to people. This eliminates a lot of the failures. It eliminates the banging of the heads between the oneness and the threeness. When we start getting into projection of revelation, we can understand. Now, see, people say, well, they both can't be right. Well, they both have a truth, but they both have taken a truth out of dimension perspective and made it into an error. The thing is if you will listen to a message, you should be able to find a fulfillment of all three dimensions in the message. But some preachers don't know about the third dimension, so they stay in the second. Some preachers understand the first dimension, and they'll stay in the first. A lot of preachers like to preach out of the Old Testament. It's very simple, and it's very allegoric to pointing over to the second. But a lot of times they don't want to go in the third. But here's the problem. The Bible said they don't know how to discern the body of the Lord, and that's why they're sick and afflicted among you. So what does that mean, Brother Rob? It means that we being the body of Christ, because they don't know who we are, they bring sickness and affliction to themselves. This is why what we do to the least of these, our brethren, is what we do unto him. Okay, so there's the dimensional perspective right there. I was born in a man shapen in iniquity, appointed unto death. But I stand before you and say, I was crucified with Christ. The life that I now live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Paul said, I show you a mystery. When the man and woman marry, they become one in the flesh. Okay, now I'm going to talk about this inner quickening of the spirit, masculine, and this outer garment of iniquity, darkness, feminine, the weaker vessel. He said, for the bride, his shedding of the blood made this right here, this physical part, pure and clean, washed it with the blood, and regenerated and made this thing pure and clean that he can go into relationship with it. Now, if Jesus Christ being pure went into relationship with a whore, it would make him a whoremonger. Okay, but he made me pure and clean as a spotless bride. Okay, as a virgin. Okay, then it goes into relation, the marriage relationship. Okay, now you got to be careful when you start doing dimensional projections, because you know we think of the physical reproduction of man on the belly, but if you go to when Jesus was born, it bypassed that. There was no sexual relationship physically with Mary, but there was an overshadowing of the Holy Spirit and put a seed. Now the thing is now here we are. Is there going to be some kind of an angel that comes and have some kind of an order, intercourse, we might use for a terminology? Absolutely not. You see, there's things of reproduction in different dimensions, but in the spiritual realm, when I'm speaking forth the word of life, there's seeds that go forth, and the allegories in the Bible says that your heart is like a field, like a garden, and sometimes I got to preach the gospel, crack the whip, and plow the field to break up the hardness of heart that the seed could find good fertile soil to bring forth some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. So the seed is going forth when I'm preaching the gospel, and there's twins being born sometimes, amen? There's one that was going to conceive through carnality, and another one's going to conceive through the Spirit. But we are the product of the Spirit seed. Amen? We are a product of that seed, the seed of Christ. Amen? And that is eternal, and that's why we're living forever, and that's why we pass from death unto life. So again, the earth has got to come up right on its axis, being baptized with water. We haven't seen the fire baptism showing the Holy Ghost. But you and I have been baptized with the water. Would any forbid these water, even if they were baptized with the Holy Ghost, would any forbid these water, and they were taken and baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? That's an order that needs to be fulfilled. We can't bypass that order. You say, well, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. So were they at the house of Cornelius, but they went and they were baptized with water in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, did the water save them? Absolutely not. Nor does the oil that I anoint you with. It's not the oil that heals you. Amen. It was the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a point of contact. The water is a point of contact to your faith to say, hey, I've been crucified with Christ. We bury it. Anything that dies has to be buried. So we bury it in a water grave and you come forth as that new creature in Christ Jesus. We're talking about keeping things in order in every single dimension. And when somebody thinks because they've been baptized with the Holy Ghost that they're going to not fulfill the other dimensions, then they're in error. All things have got to be brought into an order. Amen. The woman's subjection unto the man, order. The man under subjection to God, order. So we have the inner spirit, the inner man, the masculine, the outer woman, the bride submitted to the inner quickening of Christ, being the weaker vessel, and they become one in the flesh. So what that's saying is the holiness work of Christ in me has got to become one with God. So I'm bringing God in the earth, the sons of God, the manifestation of the sons of God in the earth, and I'm manifesting the works of Christ, the attributes of God, and I'm manifesting to people for their salvation, not mine. Jesus came and walked among men, not for his salvation. He didn't take the beating on the cross for his salvation, and I'm not here for my salvation. I am condescended from heaven. The Bible says this, that we're ambassadors for Christ. Okay, we're dwelling in heavenly places, but we condescend down to man, walk among men, and we bring the good news of the third heaven, the good news of the gospel, the good news of Christ, and salvation to man. We lay hands on the sick and they recover. The Bible teaches us this. It's very clear about these kind of things. We come with the authority and the power to remit sin. Or what are we doing baptisms for? The Bible said that be ye baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. It's the order of God. If man's sins are going to be remitted today, they need to find him a minister. But Billy Graham said, oh, you say the sinner's prayer. There's no such thing is a sinner's prayer. In the Bible, he said his ears are closed to the cry of the sinner. So how's a sinner going to have a prayer? They need a man of God to remit their sin and put it as far as these things. They say, well, Jesus remitted sin and Jesus sent me. He sent the fivefold minister to be about the Father's business. Finalizing the order. The earth comes back upright, baptized in fire, comes back upright. That's the transformed earth. At the end of the 1,000 years, the earth will go through a transfiguration and become as transparent gold. That's the final matter for God. Now in the millennium, the 1,000-year reign, the line will lay down by the lamb. You say, man, what a perfect time. The land masses are going to change. We see the Mount of Olivet's going to split, but Jerusalem is going to be spared. But all of this other fertile soil hidden by the salt, salt being a preserver, when this land mass changes and comes upright, there's going to be these islands that are going to come forth that's been preserved, and they ain't going to have the tares and all the junk, and it's going to come forth the beautiful tropical vegetation. It's going to be an awesome earth. And you say, man, that's what God wanted all the time. Don't be a beautiful place. The lion lay down by the lamb. No, this was not what God was looking for. That's a typical of a transformed you and me. See, right now I'm a son of God. Right now I've got the authority and the power to remit sin. You say, boy, that's what God wants. But there's another perspective of this. You understand that? When Jesus comes back and his feet hit the Mount of Olives, my feet are going to hit with him. And I am going to be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, from mortal to immortal. That's called the transfiguration. Now, the church calls it rapture. Okay, that's okay. When you use the term rapture, we're not really being biblical. But if we're going to use a term called rapture, we better understand rapture. Okay, rapture runs in a 1, 2, 3. A rapture was, a rapture is, and a rapture is to come. Okay, now if we're going to look at it this way, or transfiguration, waiting the redemption of the body. My body is the purchased possession. But what you see here is temporal. The Bible teaches us in the New Testament, it says the things that we see are temporal, but the things that we don't see are eternal. They're invisible. The Father said he's invisible, no man has seen. But then yet when the invisible Father manifested in the Son, and the Son spoke forth, he said, how can you say you have not seen the Father when I've been with you so long? I and the Father are one. So the Father's invisible in that dimension, but he came visible in the dimension of the Son of God. And then the Spirit of God came into the Son of God in fullness without measure. And when that measure, the fullness of God manifested in the Word made flesh, and when Peter had the revelation of who he was, and he told him who he was, he said, I fulfilled what I came on earth, and upon this revelation, upon this rock, build the church. Upon the revelation of who Jesus Christ was. Okay, so then at that point, he took the beastly image that he had to utilize to bring the revelation to man, and he took it to the cross, and it was beaten upon the cross. And the Bible says this, the Spirit of God says this in the Word, it's God-breathed and written by God. But he said, if this is what I will do to my only begotten Son, how much more so am I going to do to the ungodly and the sinner? So now, we could start teaching on the judgments of God and the wrath of God. People say, well, you can't judge. Well, my Bible says that judgment begins in the house of God. And it said the least, the very least of you in the church are even going to judge the angels according to the Word. So another false doctrine that needs to be differentiated through dimensional understanding to know. I don't judge as a man or in the mind of man, but I've come to the mind of Christ, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thinking on the things from above, and I could judge all things in that mind. But when I judge things according to me as a man, I'm guilty of the same thing, and I'm bringing that same judgment on my head when I'm judging as a man. But when I'm judging as a son of God, my judgment is righteous, and I was sent into the earth to judge all things. Ye that are spiritual, judge all things. Again, differentiation. So now the earth comes upright, goes through the transfiguration at the end of the 1,000 years. Now we're talking about this body. When Jesus' feet hit the Mount of Olivet, there I'm going to be with him in a transfigured body. It's no longer mortal. It's no longer terrestrial. It is now a celestial body. 1 Corinthians talks about it. I'm in a body that you could touch and that you could feel, but I could absolutely depart from that dimension that the Jews are in for that 1,000 years. Now, at the end of the 1,000 years, what's going to happen to the Jew? Well, there's going to be a gathering together, the ones that rebelled during the millennium, and they're going to be gathered together and they're going to be cast into hell. And the ones that have been obedient to the Lord, that came and worshiped him in Israel, at Jerusalem, those will be changed at the same time the earth will go through a change because they're relative to the earth. And the earth is going to go through a transfiguration, but you and I have already done it because we're the elect Jew. Okay, so then all things are fulfilled. At the end of the 1,000 years, all things are fulfilled in the dimension of man. And man is done away with and gone, and now we're all in another dimension of the Spirit. It's a totally different aspect. So what we have to do is when we speak as a man, we need to keep the dimension of a man understood. When we speak as a son of God, we need to keep the dimension understood. Now, when somebody claims to be born of God and they say they're a sinner, they just stepped out of the dimension of God. They're saying Jesus Christ's works were no good. He didn't finish his work at Calvary. And when you say, I can die, you see, I've passed from death unto life. That's not speaking like a son of God, but it's appointed unto man to die. So as a man, I speak as a man. But as a son of God, I speak by the Spirit. So the Bible said that Jesus Christ is the high priest of my profession. My profession. So I speak of the eternal things of God. I speak of the things of light. I speak of the things from above. I think on the things from above because I'm not of this world. But when you've got friends or family or whatever, and they're earthly minded, and everything's about frolic, everything's about sports, everything's about carnal, worldly things, they are of their father, the devil. Now, we got preacher friends that are off involved in all that kind of stuff, yes. But what I'm trying to say, brethren, is we got to come out of that. We don't even need to be thinking on those things. It's darkness. And here's the problem. with some of those saints. And I know now we'll go to preaching. I'm closing. Stand with me, for you know I'm closing. Okay? But let me say this. Here's the problem. You say, well, there's nothing wrong with this. But let me ask you a question. I had a Pentecostal preacher say this to me the other day. He says, well, I have midweek services and they don't show up because there's a ball game on. Well, why did you teach them and allow them to have ball games? Why did you give them the liberty for that? The Bible said, you know, that meat's for the strong. You give meat to a baby, you choke on it. The thing is that if you perceive that there's no strength there, and it's like the woman that came and she made the statement. She said, my son is lost and my son is a drug addict, all because of T-ball. Well, there's nothing wrong. They're little kids. Let's take them and play T-ball. Well, there ain't a thing wrong with that. I find no fault with you. But what happens when the little kid gets good at T-ball, and then he goes into Little League, and then he goes into Babe Ruth, and then he goes into the Major Leagues, and he's so carnal, he don't got time for God. He don't have time to visit the house of God. And his parents, to get him to all of his ball games, they fall out. And this is what happened to that family, all because of T-ball. They said, we had a vision in our church. We worked in the church. We labored in the church. We were about the business of God. You know, but my son got good at T-ball, and then all of a sudden we had, you know, they had practice on this church sign. Well, we got to take him to practice. And then all of a sudden we got to go to this ball game, and all of a sudden they're out of church. That's the way the devil works. It says the little foxes spoil the vine. People hear me preach out on that old holiness preacher, man. He's taking all the fun away. Man, we can't do nothing. All they're supposed to do is go to church. Man, the Bible said, give your life as a living sacrifice, and that's your reasonable service. Brothers and sisters, we're here for a moment. Amen. Just for a moment. It's like a vapor and a mist. We're here for a twinkling of an eye. Why do you want to give your flesh over to the world? Why do you want to frolic in the world? Get that stuff out of you and say, God, I'm a servant of the Lord. I'm not here for my business. I'm here for your business. Amen. This is my life. I'm giving it to you as a living sacrifice. Do you think that Jesus Christ would be walking in this earth today and be out in a ball game? When people are going to hell, you think you'd be in a car race, Brother Ed? When the people are going to hell? You say, well, brother, we got to have a little recreation. Yeah, a little bit of leaven will spoil the whole lump. The preacher takes a little bit of recreation, the church is gone. The preacher goes out and does this, the church is gone. Brother George said, man, there ain't nothing wrong with a short sleeve shirt. He said, I wear a short sleeve shirt, they come in with muscle shirts. He said, I nip it at the butt, I wear a long sleeve shirt. He said, there ain't nothing wrong with a woman dressed down, you know, mid-calf and down there. But he said, you know, when they do that, then they're going to come up over the knees. And then next, I'll have a church full of miniskirts. He said, run it to the floor. You say, I'm not in agreement with that, doctor. I am. Because I've tried it the other ways. And they always compromise and always take it a little bit farther. We better get real with God. We better press as hard as we can and push as hard as we can and separate ourselves from this world and be ye a separate people and press your way into the kingdom of God. Let's give Jesus a hand. Amen. Thank you for the time this evening and giving me adequate time. Come on, let's give him a hand, saints of God. Hallelujah. Praise your Lord Jesus. Amen. All right, let's sing a song or two and we're going to close. Amen. Because we almost made it by nine, bro. Hallelujah. That was a fast forward message.
Because he lives, all fear is gone.
We love you, Lord Jesus.
Because I know he holds the future.
Y'all love the Lord?
And life.
Have you been praying? Have you been asking God to help you? Have you been asking God to help you that you could help others? Amen. I don't live a life of righteousness and holiness for my salvation. I live this life for people to see good when good comes. I live this kind of life that they feel like they could come to me and desire help. Because they see that I'm not part of this world. I'm not part of the world. I don't want to be part of the world. I don't want to be recognized in this world. This ain't about me, it's all about him. I want to be Christ-like, amen?
The living just because he lives.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina, 27261. We, the Brothers and Sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.